Rodrigo is first on the list.
Oh, great.
We're wasting time.
Good.
Thank you. My name is Rodrigo Argueta. I was part of the LSB at KPFK for 3 years. And, you know, what I, you know, really found, you know, very disturbing is that, you know, they bought the elections this last time. And, you know, the Spanish-speaking either staff or, you know, listeners, were, we used to have like six members. And now we have only two, and one is like on and off because they cannot do anything. They, you know, we passed motions where, you know, our LSB should have translation in Spanish. As you know, this area, it's a lot of people who speak Spanish, right? And I would like to know, you know, what are you doing, you know, over there? Or you, what are you doing? Because right now we passed one motion that was, you know, in KPFA, and actually it was a motion that was passed nationally, where the ICE raids should be aired every time they are happening. And I don't see, and you don't do anything, and I don't think you are doing anything supporting our community. If, I mean, for me, both of you are not too good, you know, to lead, you know, the national board. But, you know, these things, even though it might be legal, this is not good. We don't have no money to pay $7,000, you know, to buy, you know, the votes of the people, right? So what are you going to be doing for our communities? When we're talking about minorities, you know, you're not, you know, we are not a minority over here. You know, we're pretty much half of the population. And our programming doesn't reflect that. And the support, you know, that the radio is doing here doesn't reflect that either. So what happened with, you know, the... You know, I would ask you, Mrs. Aaron Grace, what happened with the report to the listeners in Spanish? There's none, not single one ever. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Norma Martinez. I've been involved with the station, with KPFK Radio, for 7 years maybe. And I'm a daily volunteer in the station. I'm the news editor of the Informativo Pacifica. I don't think Grace Aaron represents my interests as a woman, as a migrant, as a Latina. And I think it's wrong that you guys are going to vote for her. And she didn't recruit any Latina women. Did you recruit any Latino?
Yes, I recruited Yolanda Anguiano to the board.
Okay.
I did. She was on the board because of me.
She asked
the direct question, and it's in her time. So
I want to say to the Spanish, la gente que habla español y que está escuchando en el internet, que Grace Aaron no representa nuestros intereses y ella es una figura que está provocando problemas y conflictos dentro de la Pacífica y no me representa a mí como mujer, a mí como latina, a mí como productora, a mí como voluntaria y espero que esta gente vote en contra de Grace Aaron porque ella es una figura que destruye y piensa destruir la Pacífica Nacional. She's a destroyed figure. Please don't vote for her. Thank you.
My name is Fernando Velázquez. I'm the former news director at KPFK and over 30 years serving with Pacifica. And now I work with the Informativo Pacifica, the international Spanish language news program. I came here to take advantage of my 2 minutes to express my full and total rejection of the consideration and election of Grace Aaron as a chairperson of the National Board. I feel that living in the United States of America, the biggest empire that the world has ever known, that has the largest concentration of prisoners in the world, the largest number of military bases around the world, the most warmongering nation in the world, the one that pollutes the planet, the one that poisons the planet, and the one that has the largest concentration of drug addicts in the world, Pacifica needs to address those questions. And I feel that last time when we helped Clinton in the White House, we had to be hijacked for 7 long years to fight to flush him out. And now with some of the Clintons back into the White House, that we are replaying deja vu, again, being using Pacifica radio stations as a cheerleaders for so-called humanitarian interventions on Somalia and Yugoslavia. Who knows, Venezuela and Mexico is next. And this, I feel that Grace Aaron will just be a replay of the 1990s in Pacifica and the turmoil and the collapse and the bleeding, the financial bleeding of the station, of the network, trying to get that cancer out again. So please do not vote for her.
Good morning. My name is Campbell Johnson. I'm a member of WPFW, local station board, and former treasurer. I've got a question for both of the candidates, and it's three parts. What professional, or meaning paid work, qualifications support your ability to deal with A, the mission and vision of Pacifica, and how would you do so? B, the operational challenges facing Pacifica in terms of the finances. And C, what will you do to bring board participation to include rainmakers, in other words, people who can bring financial support to Pacifica?
Campbell, you've only got 2 minutes. I don't think they have time to respond.
That's a question for the candidates.
Chair, can I ask that that question be taken after the 20 minutes?
We're going to move to elections after that.
But if you do that, then other people don't speak.
No, it's more than two minutes. I'm saying that. He has only 2 minutes, and they don't have time to respond to it.
I didn't take 2 minutes for the question.
Sorry.
Do you want to say 30 seconds worth of something, either one of you?
Thank you.
No. Okay, so,
Jim?
Well, one of the most important areas for this organization is someone who can understand from all points of view what is involved in running an organization. If you ask for my background, I was station manager for a television station. And that ran very well. We had a budget of about $8 million that I had to administer. I have my own company that I run.
It's time.
This was for both candidates.
I know, but there's only 2 minutes allotted to you, and we've given you about four.
That's right.
Well, it was a question for the candidates.
I know that, but it has to be within the context of the rules we set up for this particular interview.
I think the rules are arbitrary, unfair, and do not give Pacifica good information with regard to making a choice on these candidates.
They are nevertheless what we agreed to. So who's next?
See what I'm saying?
Hi, I'm Richard Phelps. I'm a former chair of the KBFLSB. I've been chair of and president of a soccer referee association for many years. I'm chair of I'm a board member on a regional mediation association. I know a lot about facilitating meetings and chairing. And, you know, if you're going to have a progressive organization, what you have to have baseline is a fair level process. If you have tyranny of the majority, if you have a chair with a thumb on her scale all the time, which this organization has, I listened to all the meetings. I could write a blistering critique of the last 3 years of chairing here, and nobody would like it. Okay? Because it's been biased. It's been unfair. They don't know the rules. I mean, you've wasted so many minutes of time. I calculated that one time. There's 30 minutes of wasted time allowing people to speak on points of order that weren't points of order. Points of information that weren't points of information. I mean, this, you know, it's got to be fair, it's got to be level, it's got to be proper, and it's got to be timely. And so that's, you know, I guess something I just feel like has to happen. And if we don't have that, if we cannot be at least fair so that The process of debate is level and equal for everybody to get their words out so that the debate can happen fairly and openly. We're not Pacifica. Okay, so that's my concern. And if whoever is chairing, I don't care what side they're from, if they don't do that, I'm going to start writing it up. And I mean aggressively. You will not like it because I will critique your ass upside down and backwards and publish it, okay?
Thank you for the support. I mean it.
Hello again. I'm Sherna Gluck from the KPFK LSB. We heard, if I was a listener out there and hearing the stream yesterday and hearing that auditor, I would say, if you folks don't shape up, we are not going to have a foundation because we're not going to have listeners supporting us. It's not because of our programming. It's because you have not been doing your job. And you've not been doing your job because, on the one hand, because you are so factionalized and cannot figure out how to work together. On the one hand, you have a group of people supporting an outrageous loan about which you don't even have the facts. On the other side, you have a group of people supporting perhaps an even more outrageous plan for a group of consultants. What we need is fairness. And I am here to tell you, as someone who is a member of the LSB, when Grace Aaron was the chair, she started out very fair. She talks about transparency. We had one executive session after another. There are things that I can't divulge to you because they were an executive session. But she basically has led a campaign to impugn the integrity of our council, people who came in after our struggle, for which he can be attributed for saving us, now impugn his integrity. If you have facts, fine, give me facts. But this is outrageous. She came in with a group of people as a result of monetizing our campaign here in Los Angeles. I come out of a movement going back 50 years during the McCarthy period when I was a student at Berkeley. We believe in participatory democracy. Participatory democracy means that you respect each other and that you are fair. I will tell you, as a member of the LSB when Grace was chair, she is not the person who's going to bring this board together so that we can save this foundation. I appeal to you to really elect someone who can be fair and pull us out of the morass that we find ourselves in. Thank you.
My son called in, so I have to call him back. If you could just look at the demeanors of both of the nominees, I think that should tell you a lot. If you look at the energy going in each direction, that could tell you a lot. If you look at what's happening in regards to whether you want to bring a faction together or when you want to bring the board together, that'll tell you a lot if you look at the demeanor and the energies that are going in either direction. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and maybe you might want to close your eyes. I was disenfranchised as a candidate for the KBK local station board, not because there was any laws broken. It was because I didn't have the kind of money, and the candidates that we recruited did not have the kind of money that this slate mailer and this committee to strengthen KPFK has, and still collects using the name of KPFK through a website from the International Humanities Center where they ask you to click, 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 and you could donate a certain amount of monies.
Now,
it's not for KPFK, but they use the name KPFK. They use the call letters for KPFK. Now, that may be legal, but I think it's unethical. The other part of the story I want to tell you is that there was 19 executive sessions held while Ms. Aaron was the chair of the local station board. 19 executive sessions, closed sessions, where a lot of listeners, we stood outside waiting for the public session. Now, there was also a lawsuit filed. So the people who were not elected on this slate could further disenfranchise the people who were not elected by having them be top alternates. This way, when somebody was to ascend to becoming a member, they could ascend. That's disenfranchising. That is unethical. Now, you've heard my opposition to Ms. Herron, and I have opposition to Ms. Herron, if I could just finish my thought. I have opposition to Ms. Herron because I've served with Ms. Herron as a committee member of the Governance Committee and other things, and we've done some work together. But there's been, most of the time, it's been the polarizing thing. So I think if you want to bring the board together,
that's time.
I would encourage you to vote for Jim Brown.
You got your thought up.
Again, I'm Bob Lederer and from WBAI, and I just want to address first the general proposition that Grace put out that public comment should not be used for any comments about the personal character or nature of a candidate for office on this board. I think that's a real misconception of what public comment is all about, particularly when there's an election. Election is not only about the positions people have taken, but also about the character they would bring to the very sensitive and difficult job of chairing a fractious board. So that said, the only issue I want to address is one of the most important decisions you have in front of you in the next few weeks is the question of how to guide this foundation out of the crisis that you're in financially and organizationally. And although I'm no longer on the PNB, I still listen to the stream of the meetings. And Grace has been the most fierce advocate for bringing in a very expensive consultant firm to supposedly give the foundation, you know, a clear roadmap out of this mess. And to my way of thinking, aside from the fact that Pacifica absolutely cannot afford what the National Finance Committee evaluated as approximately $200,000 expense to bring in that firm and do all the expensive sort of meetings that they had in mind. But more important than that is that it's the nature of these firms and nonprofits that they advise mainstream, generally charitable types of organizations who are not about progressive social change. They're not about confronting the system. They have no concept of what Pacifica really is here for. And any advice that we're going to get, that you're going to get from them, is not going to be about how to reconstruct the network and strengthen the network as a vital tool for social change and for broad education about the fundamental injustices of the system we live under. And so it's going to take the foundation in a very dangerous direction.
Is there anyone else? We have 3 minutes.
I can't claim the sort of intense knowledge that local folks have of Ms. Herron, but I will say that yesterday when Ryder attempted to close the auditing report session without, as I requested, checking to be sure that the sensibilities of the auditor matched the language of our bylaws, Grace was the enforcer who came over to try to force us out the room, stating that we needed to leave. And I said, well, present the language of the bylaws to the auditor. And she asked me whether I had a copy of the bylaws. I said, I'm sure the chair should have one, but there are 10 laptops in the room and it's on the net. So it seems to me that absolute silence that even the queen of transparency allowed when Mr. Ryder tried to wrongfully close that session, and he did so while the chair of the audit committee and the secretary of the audit committee were outside speaking to the auditor about the contents of the report, and he acknowledged it in his comments that the person who had raised the objection was out of the room. So it's pretty underhanded to call the vote for an objection when you knew that the person who objected was outside speaking to the auditor. There was silence among the people here, and all of you allowed him to try to close that session. But what is worse, Ms. Herron actually left her seat to come out to force members out. So I would ask you, those of you who claim to be seriously interested in transparency, although the middle of the night CFO appointment of someone who hasn't worked in 12 years in this field and, you know, just appeared and was the only candidate to be interviewed apparently because here she is this morning, no posting, no announcement, no anything. You guys who forced off the board, rejecting from PFW someone whose the qualifications, Ms. Herron characterized him as being, quote, confused, which was incredibly presumptuous to speak to someone else's understanding and whose background in finances, and I've never met the man before, you guys, you know, went after him on Friday. So your presumptuousness in that and then later again yesterday alone invalidate your candidacy, and I would urge you guys to consider putting her where she belongs, which is actually off the KPFK board.
My name is Mark Rich. I'm a former board member of United Teachers Los Angeles, which represents 42,000 educators. Also a former fundraising administrator at KPFK and a longtime member. We at UTLA are under some of the same attacks that KPFK and Pacifica are under. That is, the worldwide trend towards privatization of everything that belongs to the public sector. It's very important to see the class line in everything. It's the main lesson that I've learned in my adult life, that there are two camps in this world, and those are going to be the basic conflicts in this room on your board, is who of those subscribe to the answers that come with privatization. Consultants, you know, we've got a lot of them in Los Angeles Unified School District. They all get paid over $100,000 a year, and there are hundreds of them, and they're bleeding us dry. They are not the answer. They look towards the privatization of Pacifica in general. We have to preserve Spanish language radio, community involvement. We've got to avoid commercialization at all costs. And this hidden nonprofit charter schools that we are getting attacked with is the same kind of thing that you have with your consultants and bringing in commercial funding. From what I have heard and from what I know, I think Jim Brown is the best leader to keep us away from that orientation. There are many ways to work together, and his idea about a review, a retreat, is a good one. But there is no way that you're going to resolve all your differences, because they're out there in the world and they become internalized in ourselves. Thank you very much.
We're at 20 seconds. Is there anyone else that wants to speak?
About a half dozen more.
A half dozen more.
Yeah.
Just a minute. Let me see what the will of the board is.
Move to extend for 12 minutes.
Second.
Any objection to that? Hearing none.
What is it, 12 minutes?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, could I move? Well, I do move that the
list be closed.
Closed on the names that are standing.
Second.
Thank you.
Any objection to closing the list on the? No. Okay, so we have six people who are on the list. You have 2 minutes apiece.
Hello, William Hairwagon, WBAI. I'd like to remind people that one of the candidates here, Grace Aaron, yesterday, after somebody pointed out that she wanted to close session on auditing and try to chase people out of the room. Well, also, after that was turned around and we had the open session, then Ms. Aaron invited a lawsuit against Pacifica by just asking the auditor to comment on the performance of her own station's manager. Very strange. And it was just said that you can't talk about individuals, especially their qualifications or performance or anything in detail. It's very strange. And this kind of behavior we're going to get in the future, I'd be very sorry. Then also I'd like to repeat a story I told a year ago, right at this meeting, but in Newark, New Jersey. And it's out there on the archives, probably, so you can see if I really said anything like this. Grace's husband came up to a bunch of us outside when they were having a closed session there, and I guess assuming that we were on his side, based on the way we looked, he said, gee, that BAI, boy, what a strange place. It's horrible. They got nothing but... And then what he actually said was black nationalist programming, somebody told me. I said black radical, but I misquoted him. He said there's nothing but black nationalist programming on that station. And this is the thought patterns that go on in this family, apparently, and probably most of their cohorts. And I just think it's a very sad situation that she's being considered for leadership. And even, oh, you could hear all the local people here. And people from other stations talking about racist things and things against the Spanish-speaking people. And I hope you call for a roll call vote.
Israel Foyer next. That's myself. Keep in mind, Pacifica is an educational foundation, not a political party, not a religious sect, not a private club, not a social club, not a commercial enterprise, an educational foundation. And the very root of the word education comes from the Latin, not trying to be academic, now I'm serious, comes from trying to draw out, not to shove down, ideas and thoughts into people. So I think whether whatever a person's religion, their politics, it's totally irrelevant. What we need is people with good judgment, with a sense of fair play, who either know or will learn how to conduct meetings, how to facilitate the interaction in a consensual way to advance the foundation. And that's the key, either to know this and practice it or to learn it and practice it. And that's where the whole body comes in, because no one person can do it. Unless the whole body here learns enough and is on the same wavelength, the leader, so-called, the chair, cannot do anything. So if this person does something wrong, whichever got elected, the body has the power, not just legally, but functionally, to straighten them out or get rid of them. So I would say, I know Grace very well. We agree on most things, not on everything. We're very candid about it. I think she can do a good job if you pay attention to her and lean on her when necessary. I don't know Jim Brown. I have no doubt he can do the same thing. The key, I say again, is good judgment, fair play, to advance the principles of this foundation and its survival and that it thrive, not these other extraneous matters. So I'd urge you very much to keep in mind what I said before. We need principled compromise. That means clarity in what the principles are, clarity of what they are, then how to implement them, which means compromise, which isn't a bad word if you understand what that means. We can't have our own way. That's it's like herding cats, which is better than herding sheep, but still is not good.
Yes.
I think that hurting any living being is objectionable.
Thank you. It's an analogy.
Good morning. My name is Elisa Mejia, and I'm part of the KPFK family. I have a women's program, and I'm very worried and concerned. I'm also part of the Association for Spanish Programmers and Producers. And it's really concerning to me this morning that if Ms. Grace Aaron has been here in the KPFK Pacifica family for 6 years, where are her supporters? Where are people fighting for her and saying, yes, you know what, she's done a great job? What actually has she done for women, women of color, Latinas, and Spanish programmers? I see no evidence of any of that. I would like to also state that in Pacifica, we are community radio. We want to keep the values of community radio. Does Grace Aaron represent the values of community radio or commercial radio? And I really would like to make a point that I heard her say that stuck out in my mind earlier. She mentioned that my personal life is separate. Excuse me, your personal is political. Who you are personally is what you transcend politically. So I'm very concerned. I oppose Grace Aaron this morning, and I hope all of you consider this. And as a Spanish programmer, we will fight, and we will keep struggling and fighting until we get equality and justice for a Spanish-speaking community at KPFK. Thank you.
Steve Zeltzer from KPFA. I think it's very interesting, the dynamics here, because you have a situation in which sides have similar positions and they're fighting each other. You know, I mean, that's what's going on here. And my concern, as I've said earlier, is a vision or a perspective for Pacifica nationally, how to involve community programmers in developing national programming. And I think that that's what people have to address here if we're going to be relevant. I am very concerned that a lot of the speakers here from Los Angeles, community programmers, Spanish-speaking programmers, are concerned about what's happened in Los Angeles. And we need some explanation. Why is that? Frankly, you know, it has to be some explanation about why the programmers here are pissed off that are speaking here. And I'm sure that Grace has support of programmers here, and there's some on the board. But, you know, there's people here who are very angry about what's happening. They feel threatened. That has to be explained. Secondly, I'm very concerned about the whole process of this programming agenda that came from the managers, which was supported by Sherry Gindelman, who brought the managers together, because it's not an agenda that comes from the community or from the producers. It comes from the managers. So where do the two candidates stand on that?
what's their process and vision of how you're going to develop national programming, how you're going to transform the network, to rebuild the network. That's what I think is critical in this whole question. And I think those are the questions that really have to be focused on. I, at this point, don't see any fundamental difference, frankly, of the two candidates, and that's my concern.
I think the most critical issue is fairness, and being open and receptive. And as I've sat in this room for the last 3 days, the scowls and the just the heaviness of everybody sitting on this board is not welcoming. It's not welcoming to the people who sit out here. These are the people that we serve. Yet our disrespect of these people and some members of this board in the tone and the nature is very disconcerting to me. It's very disturbing. And I put in a lot of times with Pacific, not a time. So I feel like I have a right to speak on that. If we don't change that, you're not going to get any consensus. You're not going to get anything done if we don't start to respect each other, no matter who gets elected. And I can't speak to Grace's character. I don't know her that well. I've spent time with Jim. He has an incredible demeanor, and he's a very intellectually smart man, and he's a very welcoming spirit. Yesterday, we did something horrible to Lori Tagoma. The disrespect that was shown her as a human being was totally unacceptable for a body that, you know, says it's progressive. Yet, Grace tells us that she made concessions to allow someone to come in who had filed late, but that was because there was a point for her to be made by also getting Joe. So, you know, you got to look at how we do things. There is no balance and there is no fairness because there was no consideration given for representation of a body that is not represented within Pacifica as a whole, not just on this board. And Native Americans have no representation here. And we really need to look at that.
Hello, my name is Dr. Maria Joya Spirit. I've been a KPFK listener, subscriber, sponsor since 1960. And yesterday you changed your agenda, so I couldn't speak then. This is elections, but what I'm talking about is in general, and it's going to pertain to who gets elected. As far as I can tell, our members at KPFK, LSB, or PNB, people are not responsive, or do we know who they represent? They seem to represent themselves, their ideas, and their friends. We have no access other than perhaps attending a meeting and sitting there quietly. Secondly, the KPFK, for the only station I know here, does not respond to any emails, voicemails, or other concerns of the people who support the station. So there is no answer back, not even what used to be the automatic response email that said, thank you, we got something. They don't even have that. I don't know how your other stations are operated, but when you don't respond back to the public, it's a one-way street. We feel excluded. We feel like we're being told what to think rather than participating in ideas or thoughts or concerns we may have. Also, I would like to know if there is a place to communicate to Pacifica specifically and to be heard or read. I would like to know where that is. I looked up on Google yesterday. I found pacifica.org. I could not find a way to communicate directly there. If there is one, I missed it. I found other places, but nothing that told me a place I could write to or express something to and be at least acknowledged, we got it, thank you, we'll consider it. I don't need a response. Yes, I want to be heard a little bit. I also would like to be concerned about who, again, the LSB members do represent because, as far as I can tell, they do not represent a group or a section of population. There is no notice other than individuals running, as they may be in this board as well, running by themselves and with a few people who back them vehemently for some reasons we may not always know.
That's time.
But we'd like more fairness. Thank you.
We are at time for this segment.
Okay, we're at time. Is
one more. Last one, that's it.
All right.
All right,
I'm a listener's
representative on the KPFK local station board. And for frame of reference, when I ran for the local station board, I ran as a 9/11 truth candidate and received a great deal of support from our listener sponsors who would like some changes made in that type of programming network-wide. I also ran as an anti-slate candidate because I saw the slate as having trying to muscle their way in with money and influence. But once I got inside the station, I discovered that the dynamics of all of these things were a lot different than I originally perceived as a candidate. I discovered that the attempts to censor 9/11 truth are an organized network-wide function of people who want to suppress certain kinds of information, whether they are acting on behalf of or directly for or are completely ignorant of the fact that this is an enterprise organized by the national security state to suppress this information. But I am totally opposed to these individuals and to the influence they've had in the station. They make everything that we say about ourselves a lie, that we are free speech, that we go to where the silence is, and we need to start acting in fulfillment of the promises that we make to our listeners and the things that we say about ourselves, the declarations that we say about ourselves. In any event, once I got inside the station, I discovered that the slate candidates were the smart ones, were the intelligent ones, were the people with an actual plan to take our network forward, were the more socially gregarious ones, were the ones with a firmer intellectual and emotional foundation. And so I am speaking not in support of those who have attacked Grace Aaron, because once I got to know Grace Aaron, she was a totally committed and fine individual, and I think that what she's done here so far demonstrates that she's got the organizational abilities and the tenacity to make it happen. And so I don't know, Jim.
That's time.
But thank you very much. I support Grace.
Okay. We expect to have listener comment again. I can't give you a time, but it's scheduled for 11:30. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that.
Chair, move.
No,
to the
I'm
vote.
Sorry. We're finished
move
now. It's time to move to a vote. The vote is done by secret ballot. Does the secretary have ballots to hand around?
We have them here.
There are only two people. Simple enough. Write one name or the other on the
ballot.
You have ballots. Wonderful. Oh well. Yes. Bonnie.
Could I just ask, from a past experience, that we use a really simple procedure when doing balloting of this sort, that everybody get their ballot, fill it out, remain in your seat until Donna comes around and collects your ballot, and that we don't take ballots that are left sitting on countertops or have other people hand them. So if we could just ask people to please do that, it would be great.
What is that?
It means that this is the
election. Oh, for chair.
All right. Yeah, Bonnie, thank you. I got a little distracted, but thank you for that. That's the procedure that we'll follow. So just stay in your seat, and Donna, if you would go by and pick up the votes, and I presume Donna counts them with somebody watching, or how do we do that?
Michael Lauer. Oh, Michael's
here. Oh, that's
right here.
Oh, that's
this is
great.
Michael Lauer.
Thank you.
If the board could thank Michael for coming in on his own time
and
taking care of the vote.
Who knew? I thought he was a good Samaritan. You can watch over his shoulder if you'd like. A question arose about, hello. A question arose about write-in votes. Does anyone know what our procedure, do we count those or what? I guess we do.
There would have to be someone on the PNB.
Well, yes.
Yeah, the write-in vote for the PNB.
Sorry, I feel the
okay, so a write-in vote for anybody that's qualified is legitimate. So a write-in candidate could conceivably win.
Mr. Chair. George?
Yes.
Are we considering a 5-minute break while the ballots are counted?
I think that's an excellent idea. Let's take a 5-minute break. We'll give a 10 minutes to caucus on this. What's it?
Thank you.
procedure is now.
After the election, then Grace, you give the chair over.
Do the whole election.
Do the whole election.
Yeah, because we don't want to have any bias with the new chair. So you should do.
Okay.
For the sake of. That's been 5 minutes, hasn't it? We had a 5 minute recess. Yeah. Okay, folks, let's get back together. Those of you on the PNB, please come back to your seats so we can get on with business of the day. Well, we have.
Just ask if there are any members out in the hall.
There are. Leslie and Carolyn. What's that?
I was hurting cat.
The results of the election for PNB chair are Grace Aaron, 12 votes, Jim Brown, 8 votes, Susan Young, 1 vote. The chair of the PNB is Grace Aaron.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, may I make a recommendation that we complete the election before?
Well, I was going to ask. Is that the usual procedure that the chair pro tem?
You mean,
let him just complete the election.
Completes the election.
Vice chair
of the vice chair.
And then, and then Grace can take the chair over.
The
proper
procedure
is the person's election,
she's the chair. Is that
right? There's no. Okay. I'm just worried about
the bias.
Is he
your parliamentarian?
No.
Grace, come here.
Table,
okay.
Grace.
Come here.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All right. So the next thing we're going to do is open nominations for vice chair. Do I hear any Ifia?
I nominate Joe Gonzala.
Second.
Okay. Any other Sherry?
I nominate Jim Brown.
Second.
Okay. Any other nominations? All right. The nominations are closed. Now we'll go to how much time would the body like to have to hear from Joe and Jim? Shall we say 2 minutes apiece to start, and then a question and answer period of 8 minutes? Is that 10 minutes altogether? Is that acceptable? Anyone want to make a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Okay, here we go. Joe?
2 minutes.
Or Jim, I mean, I'm sorry. Okay.
2 minutes.
Joe.
Thank you, Afia. Honored, of course, to have been nominated. A little about myself. I'm originally from Uganda and Kenya. I've been in the United States for about 20 years now. I work professionally as a paralegal, and I've also worked as a policy analyst. I've been involved with Pacifica in one way, well, you know, as a volunteer activist. I first got involved in the early 90s working with, you know, they used to have this thing called the African American Mental Liberation Weekend, and I used to volunteer for that program. And Dr. Kwaku Purslin out of KPFK here produced the main part of the show. I got involved, you know, with the Take Back KPFK movement, what have you. You know, one thing, some of you remember, in fact, Jim Brown and a few others around the table, Leslie and Wendy, were involved in a critical period of the bylaws negotiation, which was a turning point for me. I mean, I got involved, when I first got involved, my sort of, my main allies were a lot of people who I'm not necessarily aligned with now in an interesting way. And you know, I'm still, it's a complex relationship. I mean, some of them I remain friends with, others not, including the late and in many ways great Rafael Renteria. But there was a moment, the last time I was down here in KPFK in my capacity as a board member was to help navigate the foundation through the bylaws. And I think a lot of the turmoil in terms of the ideological differences that swirl around Pacifica that we dealt with at that time are still with us today, and I hope to be able to play a role in helping carry that dialogue forward.
Time.
Thank you, Joe. Jim, 2 minutes.
Thank you. Mic on? On? Good. First, let me thank those of you who supported me for chair. I really appreciate your support. The most important thing that I would do as vice chair is to assist Grace with bringing this unit together. We have some very critical issues to solve. And I believe I bring to it with my background a chance to help solve a lot of those problems. I consider myself to be a progressive man who strive to be inclusive of all people. I'm trained to understand and to be inclusive. That's my background. I am very much concerned, I have a lot of concerns about how we as a board relate to the people who support us. And we have to come up with mechanisms to make sure that we are transparent to them. And I will help with that. We have also the obligation to move this foundation out of the mess that we're in now. And we have to do that expeditiously, and we have to do it in a way that's going to sustain us.
20 seconds.
This is the last chance for us to preserve this most valuable property. And we have to do it in a way that will give it longevity. The founders had a great idea. We need to push it.
Thank you, Jim. Now we're going to go to questions from directors. I'd like to suggest that we keep the questions to 30 seconds, the responses to a minute, if there's no objection to that. All right, now I'm going to keep a stack. Luzette is first.
Thank you very much, Chair. We're at a stage where we need to act quickly, and I would like to get something about your experience in terms of how you represent your listener, I believe, and your staff, right? Good. When was the last time you met those that you represent? For what purpose? And what was the outcome of that meeting?
That's a awesome question. The way the LSBs work, we all know, is that, you know, we hold meetings and hopefully our listeners show up to engage with us. I can't say that there's been a point recently in recent, you know, the last few years when I could say I've held a meeting with a broad spectrum of people who I would claim to represent. The last time that happened was when we were on the local advisory board, when during the local advisory board, you know, before the bylaws changes, in, you know, when we were, you know, at that stage of Pacifica's history. And I think, so I guess the short answer is that no, that has not happened recently. I've certainly met with you know, my you know, allies in terms of activists involved in governance. But I wouldn't say that they are the ones who I claim to represent. I mean, they are that as well. But the broader group, I guess if you count email, you could say that's, there's, you know, hundreds of people on email. But I think Pacifica needs to figure out a better way to do that. RLSBs need to figure out a way to do that. And we need cooperation from management to be able to reach out to the listeners to be able to do that more effectively.
Okay. Jim.
I think I said earlier that I'm part of a group that that's community-based. And we have weekly meetings with groups of men in my community, not just men who are in media, but men who are in various areas of the community. Those meetings are held on a weekly basis on every Tuesday. That's why I can't do any other LSB meetings on Tuesday. I'm also
20 seconds.
I'm also part of a consulting group that meets with young men every first Monday of the month. I'm also a part of a multicultural group that meets every Tuesday morning. So I'm constantly meeting with people and having to work within the community to drive people towards PFW.
Thank you, Jim. Rico's next. Anyone else wants to be on the stack, please raise your hand.
Hi. I'm very disturbed by the listener comments that were earlier. And now my biggest concern is the vice chair, the person that's going to have the chair's ear, is going to be closest to the chair's ear. What skills and what plans do you have to reach out to those who are in the minority on this board to ensure that their voice, their point of view is heard, and to try and also create an atmosphere where those with the numbers aren't just going to run things without consideration of people whose view may differ, to try and create a board that is less polarized?
Jim, take that first.
There's no doubt that there's division. I don't see us functioning that way. I see us coming together as a body, and I see in us work together. I think that the energies in this room, as I said before, are fantastic. They just need to be, we need to just look at them and come together and start to think and feel each other. I don't see us surviving as factions. I don't see a minority group. I don't see a majority group. I see us as people who can, in fact, be on one accord and work together. I don't think that we have the option of working any other way.
Thank you, Jim.